Beyond the time which is at our disposal, and make a little confusion to boot. So, we'll try to clarify what we are talking about, and move from there to try to suggest various possibilities for the religious, the general religious, about the Shimon Yudin, the Shimon Scabin. And moving from there, the most specific case in which we have now Gemara, and to some extent the Gemara Shabbos of Chavtes, to what extent is the halakha of Doshim Miskavim affected, limited, extended by the considerations which have to do with the difficulties involved. I say difficulties because in the case of our sugya, the term which appears in the Gemara, Rav Shul, Rav Shul, can be a little misleading. It's impossible to do. Impossibility is a high level of possibility. The more impossible, the more possible. When impossible, that's not a French word. And in this case, the Rav Shul should not be translated as impossible. This is perfectly clear from the examples we have in the Gemara. A person can go from his medrash to his home, and he can take one or two routes. One which is not quite a shortcut, but then with a shorter route, would abbreviate the time he would take. But on the other hand, but more difficult. But that had might entail exposure to a nisa, whatever nisa may be. Does the fact that the additional effort exerted, additional time expended, does that in any way affect the maskana as well as tasu muta? This is what I was thinking about. Must be the Siddhak Yachina or Siddhak Yachina. There is another way of getting home, but it's the long route. There may be a question of the expenditure of time, effort, or energy, or it may be the difficulty involved, as the Gemara on Shabbos, we have way heavy furniture which needs to be moved in order to be able to use the area. It's never become a factor. So the Rav Shul should be taken, as I've said, as limited vein, not quite as simple as possible. Broadly speaking, we'll speak of Doshim Miskavim in the context of which it's used in the Gemara. It could be used in other contexts as well. I mentioned that briefly later on. But the context of which it's used in the Gemara, it might do well to take the Rambam's definition. Of Shabbos, but presumably the Rambam appears elsewhere. The Rambam says, "V'yom mutarim asutam Shabbat, v'shen siyatan efshar shetiaseh bigvaran melacha, v'shen shelo tiaseh. Ki lo itkaven lotam melacha, that melacha which might or might not use the verb." Is a mutar. They use examples. Kitzad, the classic example said in the Gemara a number of places. Kol adam mitar kisei v'sapsal v'yotzei b'hen. V'vashu yitzkabel asot chalitz. similar examples, a person treads on grass, so if you plan, intend to cut the grass by stepping on it, it's a problem. Okay, so if you walk out and tread on it, without any intention, without giving any thought to uprooting it, that would, of course, no shame is coming. Now, the guy, no shame is coming, still trying to plot the ground, although we got to a point which we will not significantly relate to this morning. There are two possibilities, one possibility being that, or maybe three possibilities, I should say. One possibility being that it might or might not occur, but moving from there, a case where it almost inevitably will occur. Another case in which it most likely will not occur. And a third situation where it most likely will occur, but not inevitably so. The case which is inevitable is what in the Gemara comes in the title Psikleshu, is to be what you say, I want to cut off the chicken's head, I want to survive. There's an internal contradiction over there. And here, a lot of certain variables, but the Gemara is machlekes, is whether Rosh Yehuda disagree in this case as well, or whether, if it's inevitable, Rosh Yehuda can see the Rosh Yehuda is also. Still, it might still be the final Rosh Yehuda Miskaven, but as much as one is tied up with the other, inexorably bound with it, it can't be matter. If it's not inevitable, but the light is one direction or the other, that does not appear in the Gemara as much explicitly, although it seems to be not the nub of the Machlokes at Tanoim, she has the Gemara basis, two shenis, and even the last couple of lines, second paragraph of basis. I talk to them about you pushing a baby carriage or any carriage, an area where you might or might not make a small ditch there, making a ditch in front of a church. So I'm going to push my place at tonight. And so what did the word says that the motel, the ocean is coming. Another day the Gemara says you can't do it because you're kosher. The Gemara says three Tanaim are going to be there. Two Tanaim here disagree, perhaps the Kohen is going to be there. What is the issue here that we must mention? Presumably that's the impression of Rebbe Rashi that here you have a case in which the likelihood is that will not happen. No auxiliary, ancillary melacha would be done, but it could happen. Now, do we say, as a court of Shimon, if it's inevitable that it will happen, he's right there, but if it's likely that it will not, or if it's possible, not being likely, if it's possible that it will not happen, that's sufficient of Shimon. So I gave involved the question of the statistics and the likelihood. We take the flip side of that, what do you do? And say that, well, if it's certain that what won't happen, then you'd be matter. If it's likely it won't happen, that occurred because that's the line over here in this place. Obviously, just drawing these general lines opens up new questions. What do you mean likelihood? Is there a Rebbe Lisa, a Rebbe Hether? Is there a Mechsa, a Mechsa? All that I'm going to omit, also going to omit discussion, although it has some bearing upon our topic, discussion of segregation, which comes, as those of the Shabbos who know, comes in with variants. Segregation, a person wants this, that's the result. He doesn't plan it, but he's happy with that occurs. He's unhappy about it, he doesn't care. And with regard to all of these factors, all of that is part of the bread and butter of the Kodesh HaShabbos. But then I'll say one to a bit as well. There's the one further factor which I do want to mention before we proceed. And that's something which is not listed here, but which you need to give thought to. We speak of Noshim Skavin. The classic case is, take one example, it's called the Kula, one example of Shabbos. Because the Kula person is a Nazir. And he's coming in his hair. And he has a head full of hair. And he combs vigorously. And what he's interested in doing is combing, straightening it out, an aesthetic element. Same time, if he comes vigorously, if he has a strong brush, he'll pull out some hairs. It might happen, it might not happen. But combing is one operation, and the pulling hair is another operation. Now, sometimes the same physical act will entail both results. But nevertheless, he uses the verbs which you're using. In one case, you're combing and incidentally uprooting. In the other case, you're going to uproot incidentally comb, depending on what you plan to do. Or in Shabbos, in one case, you pull a table or a bench in an area which a sandy area, not a floor as we of course. It might be the small ditch would form, and it might not, depending on various physical factors, the weight of the bench, the velocity, so to speak, with which it's being pulled, etc., etc. Might happen, might not happen. But these have been defined as two different procedures, and you use two different verbs to describe what's going on. In one case, you're digging a ditch, but the means, the instrument, the implement which you're using is the bench or the chair. But if you describe what's going on in general, so two things might occur if this possible element materializes. One, that you have moved horizontally a bench from one place to another place, and vertically pressed down, and through that have created a ditch. You have figured out the physicists, you have vectors, everything in proper directions. That can be described as two, as physicists would describe it, as two different operations, even though it's the same hand that's doing both. What happens in a case which is different, in which there are two results, but the action itself, we were talking about before, the Shem Skavim, means of course that there's one, you aim for a result A, aware of the fact there may be result B, but you're not planning it, you don't have an interest in it. So that in effect, the second result, the uprooting of the hairs, is not what you're aiming for. You're aiming for straightening out the hairs. And likewise, good about them. What about a situation which you do only one action, and that action is not, has no accidental element in it? You do it, he wanted to do it, but in terms of the facts and results, that's something you give much thought to. Is that still come to Oshin Miskabin? Do you need to be in Miskabin with regard to the process, or have you with regard to the result? This is a period of Machlis and Ashvitesius in two places, one based on Rabbi Yehuda ben Aleph, and again in prayers of Rabbi Yehuda ben Aleph. I think the case is more invasive, which is a little bit simpler. Let us say that you have a ping pong table in your house. And you want to play ping pong. So you have to arrange the table. It can't rest in the air, it has to rest in something. So you have those two bases where social buildings called horses, on which you put it. Now let's imagine for a moment that you have two horses, and as you have this plate, so to speak, which is the ping-pong table, they put that on top of the two horses. You've created basically two areas. You've created a ping-pong table, you can't play ping-pong. If it's lying on the ground, you can't play ping-pong. But you've also created a storage area underneath that table, where you can put whatever you like to put. Now, there's only one action here going on, and that action is consciously planned. That's putting the platter on top of the horses. Is it discovered and discovered? The action is such as planned, but the result is not. You only used to play ping pong, but it's just in storage. So, dealing with that case, this is with the Rabbi Yehuda ben Aleph of Beis Seir. Since this is a film she made as long as there's conscious awareness of what a person wants to do, that's the Hashem Miskabin. Rashi disagrees in the sugya. Rashi says that's the Hashem Miskabin, and therefore the case which the one deals with over there, you're putting it over a base, putting it up a surface, that's dependent on the place of Hashem Miskabin. The case in prayers involves plucking hairs for Prasim Shkita Yom Tov or Kachim, but it's the same general principle. This is a significant distinction, obviously, which has to do not only with Vadosh Yusuf Zasra Muta, but presumably, while there can be such a machlekes, here the question is whether it's defined Rosh Hashanah Miskabin or not. Is it defined Miskabin or not? If Sibel Misalevi, the first Chalik, the first Simon, the first Chalik, has a more general discussion about this and other areas as well. He quotes the Tosef of Beitzer. Chaim is Chibur, as a, without reference to these occurrences I meant I said here, as a distinction between two types of Miskabin, Miskabin of Chashem, sometimes we'll touch about things which relate to that, but I say again, I'm going to assume that we're dealing with Oshia and Miskabin of Rashi's vintage, of Tate's vintage, that he's not intending to do that which he does, and that's a question related to the result. But anyway, bear in mind that that is a possible of Kamina. Some of the things we'll be discussing. Now, assuming we have a topic of Shem's Kavan, appears as I said before in many, many contexts. Strangely, we don't find in Gemara anywhere absolutely clear formulation of what the source of Achleges is. There are seven possibilities which should be suggested. One which is that one aspect of our sugya of Sochim, and others which are not. What is the possibility which you have over here? Normally when you hear Doshim Skab Rasul Muto, you think that you know what situation you're talking about and how the various aspects relate to each other. The question is that also a mutter? You do act A, which has results A, but results A are mutter. But there's another result, result B, which is also, but it's not upon that that you focus. It's not that which you will, but it occurs, or it might occur. That's the question. We'll see in a moment what that point it may be. Is this asabuta to enter this danger zone? But maybe another way of looking at it. And this is, the pressure is not what you do in terms of Issa and Heter. What license do you have to enter that zone? The question has to do with the definition of the action and the extent to which Kavana defines the action. Now, is that necessary to assume that Kavana does or does find an action? Both possibilities are tenable. Logically speaking, you could say, well, the act is one thing, the intent, the end result, the motivation, that's something else. Or you say, no, but you regard that as being an artificial kind of distinction, and state that you cannot divorce an action from its intent. And therefore, if we do divorce it, then we muta. If we don't divorce it, it'll be awesome. Because if we don't divorce it, the kavanah itself, part of the input into the malacha, it's not something that's extraneous and is imposed upon it. This conception is perhaps not suggested normally by the term muta also, but certainly it can be consistent and consonant with it. But where do we find that this is indeed the issue? One place we find is in Agmar. Fabian Asugi, as we recall, has to do not simply with the case of Doshen Miskavin, but the particular case, where somehow a noise is thrust and imposed upon a person. Now here the Gemara has two as variables. Could have been avoided, could have been avoided, on one end, and is the Kavanah is not on the other end. There are two sins in the Gemara as to how this situation relates to the Pshut of Yud. According to one day, we take a Yudu and turn his sheet on its head. A Yudu, generally speaking, in case you have any more, simply said, it's awesome. Why is it awesome? Here, what we could be also could be the relationship, see the vision in, between the Malacha and the Kavana. If we deal with Malacha, which the term Malacha means with the action. Quite like Shimon, if you lack Kavana, says Mutter. Quite like Yuda, even the absence of Kavana, still it's awesome. And that admittedly could be viewed in two ways. Either that this voice is impossible, or that you don't care whether it's divorced or not. When the Torah formulated Yisrael, needs to do a certain act. That's a certain Yisurim, which admittedly entails Kavana. And Yisrael is the Kavana. Indispensable fast of the Kavana. But you could say differently, the quote of Yehuda, or we might assume the quote of Yehuda, the question is not whether the Kavana is also Mutter, but where the Kavana stands, we got to the action, or where the action stands, we got to the Kavana. How much weight do we assign the Kavana? According to Rabbi Shimon, if you find that, according to him, the Eilim Skabit Mutter, means the Kavana is a critical aspect of the Yisur, of the Halacha. Now that's what Rabbi Shimon has to ramification in two directions. One ramification would be that, inasmuch as there's an absence of Kavana, the action without Kavana is a mechanical action. It's your organs that do the melacha. It's not you. The you in you is the person, the shemavitzu, the spiritual personality. That's the you in Yisrael. That's the part that produces the Kavana. Your feet, your mouth, whatever other organs you have, those do the action, perform it, but that's not the personality in you. So, very important to Rabbi Shimon, the Kavana is critical. On the other hand, given the fact that the Kavana of Shimon, Kavana is so central, wherever there will be Kavana, no other mitigating factor will be matter of something which has Kavana. So, therefore, if you have a case where it's Lo Yafshir, there's not difficulty, but the Kavana Chavin. To what extent do we say that the difficulty can override the fact of the Yisur? So the more weight I assign to the Kavana, the less likelihood the difficulty is going to override it. And say, it's true you have Kavana, but it's difficult, it's weight. If we see that the Kavana is peripheral, marginal, that might be in the cards. But if we focus so much on Kavana, you can't do it. I don't know if that's what you're saying anymore. According to Rabbi Yehuda thinks that the Kavana is not so critical. According to him, if there's no Kavana, that does not in any way supply ground to be matter of that initiative, because the action is being done with Kavana, without Kavana, we don't care. And we don't get involved over here questions of etc. Where is Kavana, where is it? They were dealing strictly in terms of the halakha and legal plane. That's one day in the Gemara. Now, inasmuch as that day in the Gemara assumes that in case Lo Yafshir Kamachavin, Rabbi Shimon will asel, because Kavana is there, and there's nothing to override the Kavana. And you will be matter, because for him, Kavana doesn't make much difference. So there can be another question, is Efshel Efshel a mitigating factor? That's the question in its own right. Maybe somebody will say, well, it'll take longer to get home, so take it longer, what's his time? But if you accept the principle that Lo Efshel Efshel is something to be considered, and in a case which Lo Efshel Lekom Echavin, your matter, for you to be mad on Efshel Lekom Echavin as well, the Kavanah does not upset the equation and the balance of forces on two sides. That's what they think about. The Gemara goes not to reject that. The Rabbi goes not to reject that. He said, no. Rabbi Yehuda, what he said, Dosh Eskavin, Mitzvah Shimon, that was in case with the Chumah. But the cooler to say that we disregard the Kavanah totally, and therefore, if Lo Efshel Lekom Echavin is Mutar, Lo Efshel Lekom Echavin is Mutar, Chalila, that doesn't apply. And what's lost is kula chumur. And I suppose that one could say that this is not a question of the definition of this relationship between the kavanah and maaseh, but this is a question of the bottom line. As we find certain areas, we make a little machmir, depending on what's on the scales. So here Rabbi says he's willing to be conciliatory, so to speak, with regard to Doshin and Miskavin, or not conciliatory, but to be oblivious, such as Doshin and Miskavin, and Tarso, if it's the Chumur, but to be Menkel, that I can't do. And in that case, if I were to interpret that way, it would not necessarily bring you to a consideration of the respective roles and interaction between Kavanah and the Maaseh, but rather it's simply a question of what is the end result? The end result is Yisr, Lachma, Lachma. However, nonetheless, there's certainly more Rishonim who assumed that the issue of Shir of Yehuda is indeed one which has to do with the role of the Yisr and the Maaseh, the Kavanah. And who apparently assumed that, not as this is Agumar. And Agumar it's obvious, it's one day. Maskad Gemara says, according to Rabbi, that this is a Kuli, you don't say it on the Kuli, say it on the Yudah. Rosh Hashem apparently assumed that that indeed was the heart of the Machlekes. Whether they would have drawn the conclusion about the Efshel Lekom Echavin, I'm not sure. First, where do we find such a case? In a compendium, which is somewhat peripheral for Rosh Hashem, Sev Yikus Yitzalem Yamiroyim, not much used in Shivish circles, but it's a shame. The evidence of action is there, which says that the question of Yehuda of Shimon should involve us in Suyin Zvachim. Why Suyin Zvachim? You have to intend six things, primarily two, for who's to have the kapala, and what kind of korban is it? Is it kiddush? What kind of kiddush? If there's and that you want to eat it at the prescribed place and time. And what happened if someone was shechet and he intended to eat it kosher, and he intended to eat it not the day which is the time for that, but next week? So Sie haben auch den Pickel. Who is befagelt? The Shechet or the Bayern? So that's the Gesuyas Vachim, Vavim Zayin. The favorite day is whoever does the Maise, whoever does the Shechita. That could be anybody. That you have to be Kohen. But there is a day that it depends upon the Bailim. Even the Bailim does not do anything physically, it does not depend upon the Shechet. So, general discussion over here. The discussion here, which we get to later on, is to the possibility that the Ezra Shem Skabin makes the French in certain areas. Some is a lot of but some is the other way. Now, this differentiation, one fact we'll find later on, has to do with the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov in one area and other areas of Halach in the other. Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's Din Melachos Mar Shabbos, elsewhere not. Here they have a different distinction, but the same general vein. So in parts of Halach, he says, it's mentioned, Mar Shabbos is mentioned in Pesukim. So that places Mar Shabbos on a pedestal. And subjugates other aspects of this action to the Machshavah. There we say, Dov Shem Skaven Bimuto. But we need a Machshavah. If it's any Skaven, so there's no Machshavah. The Easter is only one Machshavah. The Machshavah is in the core of the Easter. In areas where the Machshavah is not mentioned, it shifts the balance, it shifts the focus from the machshava to the action. Now he runs up certain difficulties, areas where presumably the pasuk does not speak of machshava, and yet the mitzvah machshava is a serious account. So, for instance, bizvachim sefer b'shamay tznan ein machshava olechet elachav oveit. The one who does the Maisa Shechita, not the Bailim. And then he goes on to quote Gemara there, and the Gemara says, Shomati, Shabalim Mefaglin. So he discusses that sugya in this context. What does that have to do with what we talk about Dov Shem Skaven? We talk about two different, we do action A, which result A, possibly result B. What is it like this? Evidently, he assumes that the problem is not the way that the Rambam formulated it, the Navio talks about it, how the results branch out from the core, from the root. But the question is, how much weight do you assign to the Machshava, which inevitably then determines for you what happens when the machshava is lacking, which sometimes will work on the kulah, sometimes will work on the chumah. You work on the kulah, the machshava is lacking, so it's muta. They work on the chumah, the machshava is lacking, so the whole procedure is possible, not because of some others, but because this itself was not performed properly. As we have a number of places. So this is one way of looking at the machlokes. It's a relationship between Machshava and Maisa, and that can be suggested either according to Rosh Hashanah, according to Rav Yehuda, or to understand this Gufa is with Machlokes Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. However, it can be assumed that we will study what we're learning our study over here, that the Gemara is simply Kula and Chumra, and if I reject this possibility, it says this is not a legitimate way of drawing conclusions, inferences from the Chayt HaShiva of Yehuda as to what's going to happen when you run up to a conflict between that and the concept of Hefshir and the concept of Mitzvahim. So what there is in Machlis Machlis. Here we can suggest other possibilities as how we interpret Machlis Hashem Yehuda, Doshin and Miskavim. Mainly two. I said before, it's a danger zone. Now normally, we don't like danger zones. Any possible result in Rosh Hashanah, you don't intend it. Hashem, the work is being done. But not okay. There is room, maybe room, for taking the risk. And move from the question of defining whether it's us or mutu. Well, this act without the kavanah is also muto. Move it somewhere else, and this is with regard to how you relate to the risks with the involved. The issue of the risk itself can be understood one of two ways. One of which brings back to what I already said before. One is to say, look, if you end up doing the malacha, you end up, you comb your hair, and you tell you you're just combing it. It turns out, at the same time, you plucked out a number of hairs. So the Chatzkid shouldn't have done it. You have a license to do it. Take a chance. The Torah is allowing you to take a chance. It knows that you might end up doing a malacha. But it's allowing you to do it. Tell us about the boss of what you should do, what you can and what you can't do. And it's liberal here in allowing you to take certain risk. Now here, as I mentioned before, the Gemara Beitzer, the question is how much risk might enter, what percentages, etc. But the point being in this connection, if we learn this way, it's a question not of how you define the Maisa Veira. Is it defined with an eye to the input or to the output, to the intent, or to the result? That's a question that's all right, and of course, ethical philosophers, Kant, etc., have gone to prepare this. That's not the issue. The issue is, let's assume that if you do it, it's not going to be myself there, but whatever you are there, generally speaking, a malach would have been done here on Shabbos. But instead of like Yisrael, because the Torah allowed you to proceed. That's one way of looking at it. And then you have to, if you want to try to get to the bottom of the Machlokes, you have to look more generally in terms of where the Torah was matter or was not matter. Take, for instance, the area of Sfeg and the Eishet HaChumul and Chulul. As well known, most Shem assume that's a Dais HaLokha. And Lam assumes, no, Lam says, Sfeg Dais HaChumra, Midrabanan Sfeg Dais HaChumra. What's the issue over here? Again, question, How liberal was the Temple of the Methodists in Las Vegas? That's one possibility. Or alternatively, to assume that the issue is not how, what is the latitude to enable you to take risks. Is there a risk at all? We might say, as indeed, not as the most of the Rav Shimon, as the most of the Rav Shimon. According to Rav Shimon, if you didn't have the Kavanah of the Issa, that's not the Issa. That, as I said before, is your organs, it's your mouth, another organ, it's not you. So there's no risk. It's a win-win situation. Even if you do that, mice, you cut the hairs, and you uproot some grass, and all kinds of other things. But if you didn't intend to do it, that's that Issa. Now this brings us back to what I said, Rabbi Shimon, to what I said previously, the relationship between the Machshava and the mice. So remember, the Chayyim Shira of Yudha, one possibility that could be a question of how you physically regard the Machshava and the Maise, is it divisible into two aspects or not? That's the Tesh Nebetze, and against Rashi, that's one possibility. Soon it's divisible. What are the ramifications that are offered? So one is, we have to take, assuming it's divisible, so it's conceptually something else, but nonetheless, you require both in order to be the Aveira, and that's what you should do, assuming that's what Shimon Shita, because he thinks that you need both the Aveira, the Mais Aveira, and the Machshava. And the Yudha says, no, the Mais Aveira is sufficient without getting involved in the Machshava. That's one area. The other area being that of the risks that you can take, if you're going to take the risks or not. Which opens up all kinds of broader questions which we're not going to be considering. And that is the Chayyim of Shira. Now this is if you're dealing with Doshim Miskaven, generally speaking. Generally speaking, I mean, speaking as I did, Mais Aveira, general terms, or deal, as opposed to deal with it in more local terms. Now the Gemara deals with the Halacha Doshim Miskaven in two kinds of concepts, context. One is Shabbos Yom Tov context, and that's before Brachos Machshavos. The other is the halachas, the range of halachas we mentioned for the moment, which is spread according to the Kula in areas that have nothing to do with Shabbos. Speaking of Brachos Machshavos in this context, and for the moment I was assuming that it applies to Shabbos and to Yom Tov, is to make use of a concept which has a number of applications in Shabbos as a central factor. I say a number of applications, that means in part two directions, and each direction a number of examples. What do I mean by which directions? Normally, anybody who's learning Shabbos, he learns Sefer Yosef Torah, this is the test of Yosef Torah. It's not black on Shabbos. Fish, that's not on Shabbos. And so we say, no, it's good for the Yehuda, it's good for Shimon, it's not black on Shabbos. It's acid. We want to have a case, that's not on Shabbos. If it's not with the Shinui, that's not on Shabbos. Shem Shesua, Pachinus Mashevus, all cluster of cases in which you consume, it does not measure the standard of Mashevus. On the other hand, the most says above a Kamer, and Lushen in some cases extended this, that you have instances in which the same performance, the same Yisrael Chotah Kula, would give only if you had certain variables, with the emphasis on certain technical specifications, and Shabbos, as long as you get the bottom line, you're less concerned about how you got there. The Gemara in Shabbos in Bavkar Samach seems to say, that's the question of the Gemara, that Shabbos, well, I said, yes, Chodah Kula, the Zikin, Drava Bezog, is also. Shabbos, Drama can be, it's, right, that's it. Chodah Kula, Drama will be Pater, Drama Bezog is Pater. Isra, Chatsiva is Pater. Shabbos, that's what says the Torah, so as long as you have the Machshava, it's realized and willfully experienced that asas, even though the same thing, the same verb, would not entail that much. Here, of course, we speak about Machshavas, it's in the direction of the first verb of Machshavas. That you require it, that you don't have it, it's not part of Nisan Shabbos. First, take the examples of those what I'm talking about. The one Nazir I quoted before, Nachman Beis. It's one example. The Baal Zvachin of Tzadik Aleph, that's extinguishing Esh HaMizbeach, there too the Gemara gets involved in this issue. Other examples, someone cuts a beharis, a simen tumer, saras, familia, such also, it's come under doshim skaven, yes or no. With regard to sirus, castration, barakayim, again, the Gemara talks about this. This is some of the examples. Now, what halacha ma'aseh, what does it make? So here we have about this kmina according to Tav Shimon, according to Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda, Tosfos says in many places, and Rashi did say likewise, that Rav Yehuda says that Tosfos Shabbos is also, and Shabbos is only also with Rabbanan. Chodah Kula is also Midraisa. Now, there are a number of ways to learn this. I just mentioned it very briefly. One might be to assume that the seven of the last Mashiachs, and that's a requirement you have. If a law cannot dress on Shabbos, it's not on Shabbos. And therefore, if there was not a law on Shabbos, so it's going to be the Rabbanon. Why do we require Shabbos on Shabbos? As the Torah said to the Mishkan, we don't get involved in that philosophically. Why? Effectively, I guess he was still working on Yehuda, that on Shabbos, the definition of the relationship with Maisa and Machshava is different. This was the Baha'u'llah Shem Chaim Yisus Nisribu, and because the Kula question of Machshava relates to the ultimate result. Shabbos, it relates to the route that's taken, the path that's trodden. Not just what happens at the end, what happens on the route. That being the case, so he says, even going to Yehuda, you need that. If you don't have direction, along the route you take, there cannot be any fear of Shabbos, so it's not midabar. And this is according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we're going to Rabbi Shimon made no difference, Rabbi Shimon didn't know Shabbos mutar, so what difference should it make, what are we dealing? However, nonetheless, the number of Shem say that even according to Rabbi Shimon, the Kibbutz of Kibbutz. Since Rabbi Shimon, when one day the Gemara agrees and gives a creation, where the Issur result is inevitable, he agrees that Shem Shabbat is Mut is Asa. That being Chat Yakur, or Shabbos too. So yes, Rabbi Shem say, as according to Rabbi Shimon is the difference, but there seems a difference because the Kula and Shabbos. And that very well mean, of course, that with that issues I raised before, how you find the relationship of Achshav and the Maise, what about these things, etc., that we differentiate between Shabbos and Shabbos Surim, so you can only. And that's just some extraneous fluke. It's fundamentally inherent and intrinsic in how you define Surah Shabbos, how you define Surah Pater Kula. In light of the different definition, you ought to have a different conclusion, Shabbos and elsewhere. Whatever it says heretofore, as related to Doshim Shabbat in general terms. Both try to understand conceptually what the source of Achlegis is, and try to understand practically which case you say it, which case you don't say it. Agama, however, as another element which comes up. And the most critical issue to understand our sugya is what that factor is and how it impinges upon the sugya of Doshe and Skabin Agamar. What is Agamar? Agamar was the Rabbi of the Rashba Koch, a person who has a thrust upon him in a sense to ingest foods, to absorb odors, to be impressed by a visual scene. These elements which a person can relate to voluntarily, he goes out, smell the flowers, he goes out to look at the paintings, etc., etc. And the Chalik is going to be a Bayan Rabbi, and which presumably involves us in the Chalik of Shimon Rabbi Yudin, except this is what I discussed previously to change the Gemara. Here we have a Chesed Abayim Rover, And we want to discuss is, in which case is it true? Efshir or Efshir, and Chavon or Chavon. What's this part? The polar extremes. If it's Efshir or Chavon, on the one hand, you have going for you the fact, it's hard, I don't have the care, I have the money, I don't have the time. So there's a factor in order to, whose weight is the direction we make go. On the other hand, the Yisr, in the lightest form that could be, like a Bechav. So on the one side of the scale, the Yisr is less. On the other side of the scale, the Matirim, namely the Leisha, are at their utmost. That combination, everybody will agree, Mutter. At the other extreme, we have both fans going on Chumra. These are the Bechavet, and so it's Efshar, Efshar, it's Efshar. So everybody will agree, or could agree, that it's that's awesome. The question that comes up in two intermediate cases, either Efshar, but Bechavet, or the contrary, if it's Efshar, but like a Bechav. That's what works with these combinations. What happens when you have these? How happens in a steady sugya? And to what do we relate it? This is here. Drawing presumably from the Gemara and Shabbos seems to pursue a very clear course in understanding the sugya and analyzing it within the context of those from Shabbos, Shem Shabbos, Kavanah Maisa, elsewhere as well. How is this to be seen? We have a mother here who talks about Efshar Efshar with regard to Hanoi Habanad Bar Kochi. The Mother Shabbos seems also to deal with Efshar Efshar, but not with this Hanoi Habanad Bar Kochi, but rather with regard to doing a maisa, again, that this is with the dragging the bench of the bed. But it's a heavy bed. So it's a case of Lo Yafshol. Again, understanding is a stress at the outset. Lefsh doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means it's weighty, exhausting, exhausting. And opposed to other cases in which it's a light, portable bed. And then you have a question of Chavon, like a Bechavon. And you have there seemingly a structure paradigm which is similar to what we have in our sugya, except that here we talk about the Hanoi, and there we talk about the we don't talk about that, no, we talk about a massive plea. This is here, since the question of this is something. Abayakir Abiyudu, the Rosh Nimor says that Abayakir Abiyudu is the maker of this case. Near the summer of Abayi, for Eid Vefshah, we'll be having also starting with the premise that לא אפשר אולי מחמס עשו, לא אפשר אולי מחמס שורי, two cases, אפשר אולי מחמס, זה היה מחמס, but could have easily avoided all the issue, and לא אפשר אולי מחמס, ומטו, אפשר מחמס הוא יעשו, לא אפשר מחמס. What is the difference between two cases? It says that to Efshel and Efshel is a difference. Kavanah is no difference. Here is Kavanah, here is Kavanah. Or here is no Kavanah, there is no Kavanah. So Mrs. Tesis, Ibuntabaye, since I find the Efshel Kavanah, as we said before, when he is made the Natsmuto. לא אפשר לא יבחבן. בקייס אפשר לא יבחבן, the Kavanah aspect is the same in both cases. In both of them, Kavanah is lacking. What is the difference? That אפשר or לא אפשר factor. That, quite a few, is not Kavanah choice. And therefore, we should have to ignore that. Taste and deal with this, sends you the Gemara Shabbos, Gedolim, Ktanim, assuming that it's the same case, the same case over here. This is something which is rather far reaching. To assume that according to Abaye, Alib Rav Yehuda, that the Buddha had killed to do a melacha which would be possibly turned to melacha, he said possibly is possibly no. This is Buddha la melacha. That's far reaching. But part of the fact that Teis of Askonin, the Kota Abaye, כל זה ביוד צמות דמלוך יסוס לא זה דושן מסכבן where from obviously with the guy to the Gemara's case the Gemara just says does that say that in general if you hold like a ביוד and do therefore place great significance by the Kavanah yes, because the Rudy don't place away from the Kavanah. Because the Rudy don't place away from it. So then, it should be Mutter in every case, as Rosh Hashem is coming, if it's Loy Efshah. Because that's the consequence of Loy Efshah. Efshah Loy Efshah. Kavanah doesn't count so much for him. Why he talks about the Rabbi of Al-Kochen. Consequently, who are much simpler terms and one three differently. A number of years, it was in the States, I learned Pesachim, said Shere Sugye, and took the tag, which I'm going to suggest in just a couple of moments, to understand I assume it. I felt very good about it. So yeah, Malach, we're learning it, had something. And then more recently, I saw that Rabbi David says the Malach. When that happens, you know what happens to you. What happens? The one that you feel good, you're mechabed to be rishayim. The Ksei says at one point, he talks about Matamah Sazer. So Yav is Libya, Shigimat Adiva. He's in the campaign. On the other hand, here you thought it was your own Kiddush, and you see that it's quite a Shemesh. But of course, we don't really know to be depressed or to be happy. We don't understand to experience it. Unlike what Tesis assumes, what Tesis sees arguably the same perspective as that Gemara, these are two different ball games. זה בא צופה, אז לא יבוא לבד פרוכי. What does that mean? Something said here about Hanoi. Hanoi, there are two different deceptions. How this was before it. It could be that Hanoi is the what's also. Ingesting that Hanoi, absorbing it. That's what he saw. Or he saw could be a Maisa Hanoi. Initiating an act, we should have Hanoi. I said maybe this is more or less self-evident. Person eats. So we discussed it in other contexts as to whether the Achilles eats or the Hanoi's Achilles. But what is certain, without getting involved in that issue all over again, what is certain is that there's a maise through which you divide the Hanoi. You go out towards the Hanoi. It's your initiative. It's your action. This is through sexual relations. So I never very that's what we're looking at it. Or to say, no, it's true that it's contingent in one way, in some way, upon doing a maise. But this is not the maise at all. This is the knowledge derives from that. Now here the question comes up, with regard to Hanoi or Bal Kochi. If the Hanoi comes Bal Kochi, how is that regarded? Do I say, since I'm passive, that's the Bal who comes up? I'm passive. So therefore, it's, since I'm myself doing the Hanoi, Hanoi comes to me, the wave of Hanoi which overcomes me, and I'm responsible. Because they ask the Maisa Hanoi, I'm not doing the Maisa Hanoi, I'm simply letting the Hanoi flood me. Or do we say no? Or do I say no? We say no in two different ways. Limited way and more radical way. In a limited way, you say this vice is my Hanoi. Even if I don't move, stay right where I am, and I let the Hanoi flood in upon me. I let light flood in upon me, I let the rain flood in upon me. And there I am, simply lapping it up, enjoying it, but and I'm moving the spot. I'm not running out to meet or to greet the Hanoi or the source of the Hanoi. Or another case in which this is some initiative on my part, I walk. The choice of walking, I could have taken in the route which takes you past the eastern route and one which does not entail any such exposure. I chose one. And can this route be divided into two? On the one end, it's simply a route, a certain street along which I walk. And it happens, when I'm walking along that street, and I may know this from the outset, I'm going to pass by a bakery, or pass by some other source of Issa. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm walking home. On my way home, I'm confronted by a sensual wave which comes about Kochi. I could have avoided it, yeah, I could have avoided it. But need I avoid it? Dat zal ik ook van hem mee. Allah hoe ze het zassen te bedienen, maar die hebben niet zassen te take an initiative and action in which you go after the Hanoi. And so what happened is the Hanoi came after me and he came to come after the Hanoi. That may be the issue. You can have a case in which it says Hanoi comes after me. You might still say, okay, but who are you kidding? You enjoy it. You enjoy the music, you enjoy the pictures, you enjoy whatever is there. So it should be awesome. Would it be awesome even if I just sat in my chair and did nothing? Or would we agree that in that case it's muto? That's a separate question. How do you define that question? But in case which I do something, I walk a certain direction, I can divide the walking part from the another part. Precisely because it's not concrete. Because I'm not in any way taking any steps in order to ingest that, in order to enjoy it. Why do we say no? If you said did nothing, mechatesim. But you went by a movie house, you know the dirty pictures on the wall, but you passed by, it doesn't bother you. That's the question. Two questions here, if you will. One question, do we view, in this case, and the walking is two separate actions. So the Hanoi is also the walking of the Mutu. That's number one. And secondly, if I've determined that the Hanoi is indeed divisible from the walking, nonetheless, that does not give you a heter. If the Hanoi and the walking are mamish one unit, that Echrami would certainly be awesome. If I say this, if it's visible, then perhaps you could say the Hanoi is separate, the Hanoi Lachud and the Adichah Lachud. And they might say, no, even they're separate, but since one leads to the other, so they say. That's what the Gemara is talking about. It has nothing to do with the case of Melachah Shabbos. Melachah Shabbos is a Babal Matoche. How do you come to the Melachah? You roll up your sleeves and you get to work. What does that do with Kumar Baba Kochen? It has to do with more general discussions I mentioned earlier, Bechai Doshir Miskavin. That's what we do with Sugis. He was relate them, neither here nor there. All the Kumar does over here is simply relate our Sugir. The more general discussion of Doshe Miskavin and how that can be done with those previously. But can't relate to the other. And can't relate to the Sugya of Tanakh Gedolim with Gemara and Shabbos. Now, if we want to try to determine when can we say this Issa. I go out to the Issa. And when is an Issa which comes upon me? And if I go in that direction, we say that I'm the one searching for the Anoy. It's not the Anoy which is looking for me. two possibilities suggest themselves. One possibility, you differentiate between hanoes. The more later on, talks about koyel marav reyach, it is mila za mila. You have a very pleasant voice. You see a beautiful scene, the vista. And you are exposed to a very pleasant odor. There's not a mila here. But why is there no mila? If it's a chef, this is low technish. Why is there no mila? Someone says it was nice to be saucy. After the Makta Nektaris, so you finish with its mitzvah task, and now you can regard it as being secular Nektaris. That's mitzvah. But Kerel and Mare, you will say that's mitzvah. You're an opera singer, long stages for some reason or another, and you derive pleasure from the hearing of the source. That's not nice to be sourced. These issues come up to some extent in other contexts as well, and which are in general contexts. Neoplatonic philosophers, particularly drawing upon the passages of Plato, take different kinds of enjoyment and grade it. Sound, physical, food, etc. Feeling something, the tactile or the what would appear, something the same is true here as well. Kerel and Mare are relatively abstract. There's nothing tangible coming at you. That's all there is, nothing. Reach, that's a different level. There's something there which is similar to eating, to consumption. So one possibility is distinguishing between different kinds of hanoes. But there's another possibility. The question of the status of odor is a problematic one, both in our world in general. Questions about that hanois, where Reach stands. So on the one hand, some people observe that Reach in the Western world particularly is a very bad publicity. Because something smells, even if you don't remind yourself at one time when we say smells, something essentially such things. But usually you say, it smells, it's not very good odor. You also have those associations elsewhere. The question is over the halacha. Halacha is probably to Reichen Milsen. Reichen Milsen has several contexts. It means, is odor something substantive? How do you regard it? Here we have a number of sugyas, and we change the distinguish between them in various directions. You have a sugya in the Zohar which deals with a bag of rubber with a zutah for a person who's supposed to be tasting wines. Instead of tasting them, smell them. If the wine is the wine of every Zohar. You have a sugya in Sachim, Reichen Milsev, use an oven, either simultaneously or successively, you have the fear, one is treif, one is kosher. Then Rechais Rabbi Levi, how does that relate to Rechais Abayim Rover? Everything else to the Then you have a Gemara, the Flamme Beis, is in the Beis in the Vizor, where there's a problem raised with regard to persons enjoying the odor of Rabbi Zohar in a shuk, which has all kinds of things which are pleasant odors. Then the Gemara of Rabbi Zohar of Memchess, which Hashem disagreed as to what the issue was over there, in the question of Tumor, Hanoi, Machoris, Hashbar, and Ramban. The question which comes up is that seems to be conflicting sugyas. Some say that Hanoi is not, Reich is nothing. The Kodomar, some say that Reich is very something. And then you have to begin to consider whether it's mutter to adjust it as our sugya or as also. So Hashem got to work on this. As he got to work, they tend to focus upon two variables. Sometimes also, sometimes one variable has to do what is the odor which I'm ingesting. I say that by that don't mean it's a pleasant or unpleasant odor. Even if it's a pleasant odor, there's different levels. Everyone knows there's some flowers that you enjoy very much, but it's not so. Hashem uses criteria in bracha. There's a bracha, certain types of reiches, of something, which was the Rambam's present in Greek Sanhedrin. And other things, your wife makes a cake, and you come home, and it smells wonderfully. But the bracha you don't make over the odor. So what's to do with the odor? The quality of the odor, the force, the vigor. The other has to do with experiencing, the context with which you experience it. If you go to smell something, because you heard it's a wonderful odor, or something which normally people purchase precisely as they want to get the odor. Moses says in the Suda from Zayim and Beis that the students are Dasim and Swagim. Others you take precisely because of the odor. And therefore it's also to smell of Shalem Shemitzu. And that's the way people take either going to eat or going to get a mitzvah. So it has its present odor. And you make a bracha over it. But it's not something which is specifically designated for that. So the question of the Gemara Sukkah is not related to our whole discussion. The Gemara Sukkah, which says it's also the smell, how does shemitzvah, but it's mutter the smell, that's the shemitzvah. They are not talking about Yisur HaNoi. They're talking about the Kisha, which is Rashi quotes the Gemara there. It's like a sort of comb, equivalent to Gemara for a Beis and Shabbos. But we have another context, certainly a possibility something will go to look at, see something, when it has a pleasant experiential element. I often quote to my family when I go see something. I quote to them, Dr. Johnson was once confronted with Boswell and his crew that was touring. And the crew, they came to a certain site, and the group leaves wherever they were, their home base, to go look at that site. Johnson stays home. Boswell asks him, sir, don't you think that place is worth seeing? Johnson says, worth seeing, yes, worth going to see, no. here, there may be a case in which you say, over there, flowers, such wonderful odors, worth going to see. Others, enough worth seeing. Now, the difference in worth seeing, worth going to see, if there might be a difference, not only in what kind of experience we're talking about, but what kind of experience are we doing? If all you do is seeing, and the object that you're looking at, no one runs to spend money to see it, it's not a museum, it's not something like that. So that could be wisdom. That's a drama. You haven't gone out to reach, you've never reached out to the Yisrael. The Yisrael has reached out to you. But if you have something which people ordinarily and habitually go to look at, they go to museums, they go to concerts, then likewise with Atreyach, the Reches, which people reach out to smell. People buy all kinds of go to the drugstore and you buy, you know, things which deodorants of one kind or another. That's worth going to see. Memele, the question of Rabbi Lakochoi, there are two problems involved. First, the question, is it Hanoi or not Hanoi? Does it come in the definition of Hanoi? Now, this breaks down to two components. It may very well be there's some Hanoi, but not the Hanoi worth going to see. Does the Hanoi be overwhelmed by the physical presence which confronts you? That is, for the purpose of the Issa of Hanoi, is non existent. Not because of the problem of Kavone, but because essentially the phenomenon to which I'm exposed does not have the weight, the significance, the meaning, which justifies it as being the object of experience. Maybe some Mishugoyim were great specialists in odors, and they read the New York Times about it, but that's not you and me. And then there's another kind of odor, which, given its character, is very powerful, very meaningful. But we spend a lot of money for perfumes. Someone wants to smell the odor of perfume. That's not that noise, Kamal Koche. That's you reaching out to that noise. Now the Gemara here, and it deals first with the question, it does not deal with the question of Hanoi. Rechim is saying, the Sugi is Rabbi Nizor, Nav Samachor, and the Sugi, Rabbi Nizor, Nav Fidbeis, and Rabbi Nizor, Nav Memches, and Pesach, Nav Sain, Vav, etc., etc. That's where that ball game comes to place. If Rech Rav Bilse, we don't care whether it's with Kabbalah or without Kabbalah, you did nothing. It's a non-entity. There's no experience here. But if we're dealing with it, reaching out, by Zdab al-Kochay, then we begin to get involved in Doshem Skaven, at one level or another level, of our sugi over here. Consequently, if you want to deal with a particular experience, we have to draw up on two elements. One element has to do, is this something of substance? And that's the problem when the one talks about Echemilzeh and Abilzeh. And there you have big problems with shame also, you pass it this way, pass it that way, which I don't involve myself in. Having put that question to rest, if I decide that's something of substance, then the question of Kavanah is irrelevant. Because the Kavanah is with Vahetu. It's good to look at that. if you say that it isn't something of substance, then you have to begin working with the question of the Kabbalists, of Yudah, of Shimon, the very strength we suggest in our Gemara. Now, of course, if we learn the suggestion here, we have to add one element. What I'm saying is, this over here, Mahavir Pesut Nesugya, that the problem in our Sugya begins, number one, we have to determine that there's the ease of substance here. Number two, we have a problem with regard to one's exposure to that is deemed to be your initiative or an objective one where you're not, you have no control but you don't seek it out. If it's a Kochim Mamesh, as I've said before, it might be Muto. If it's not a Kochim Mamesh, it's simply a choice of if you want to go without exerting too much effort, that's the limit kind of way of show. That's what presumably Agamemnon is talking about. But as much as I'm trying to weave this my way through the sugya in this respect, every case which the Gemara discusses with regard to Efshur HaKabachavim or Efshur HaKabachavim, since I suggest the whole problem is about the Kochay, every case comes up with it. They want to sit in Eichel, enjoy the shade, or to look at the Eichel, enjoy the scene. You have to assume in all those cases, it's all halabah and Kochay, extraneous Hanoi. The question is, do I regard the Hanoi as flooding me, or do I regard myself as reaching out to that Hanoi? As I see it as a whole, there's not too much of a problem with regard to this. First with the Gemara, one case after the other, without the Eichel, Tzidush Eichel, because you have to kill Mara, Leah, all these pretty much are the same. You want to get sidetracked for a while about something else, about Nassim Shosser, which we won't be dealing with today. But then it was, comes to its final phase, after having been sidetracked, overcomes the diversion, and gets back to the question of another Lakoche with which the Sugya started. But what is he going to talk about over here? Here the Gemara talks about Burin Kilayim. You go to the store, you want to buy a suit. So if you go to food stores, they very tested for Shantas. If you go to a non-food store, you try it on, and have a test of a Shantas. And suppose if you use Shantas, there you were, priming yourself in the mirror, look at the Shantas. So if another as a Kochay is applicable here, I said, no problem. I didn't try the jacket in order to enjoy the jacket, etc. just see if it fits. That's not the bishop's words. But the other hand, Sofa Galama, I said, wait a minute. If you're walking along a certain route, so there you can say, well, I'm not going to smell the Avodah Zarah. I'm going home. I take a walk. That's no problem. But if you put it on a suit, when the suit was chasing you, you were chasing the suit. How do we resolve the fire of the suit? And this is the subject, this is another element with which I'll be concluding. Kvega is a famous shuva, the Gemara in Bracha says that if a person is wearing kelayim and he takes, becomes aware of this while he's walking in the shuk, he should disrobe, because then it's a chovei tzuda in Hashem, even if it's in the shuk, and even if he's there in his birthday suit. That's the Gemara. Okay, yes, we can't say that to you, but he's a misasik. Should you tell him or not tell him? He's not been doing that here, he doesn't know. Why should there be a problem with like this? See, it's about the question of misasik or embarrassed. If you have a lawyer, but you're misasik, you're chayv or not. It's a lady that seemed to have quoted before. Made a different question, and it's central to the whole area of Kilayim. Kilayim is the issue of the Levisha. Is that until Hanoi or not Hanoi? Of course, Kilayim is not Issa Hanoi per se. But we were discussing in the context of certain things which Issel is the Maises. But within the context of that Maise, the Hanoi which is derived from it, that's the core Issel. But the Torah only was not Issel that if you have some Hanoi. I'll discuss about that in the Vesalevi, in the Sugis Ahel, Sugis Ahim. I'm not involved with some of that now. Simply noting one mahalach, this is the Ramban, if you do not accept this, Ramban, the Sui of Segresha in Shabbos, the Kufi Alev. When you put in a suit, the Mechrik Sus, you're not in store to test it, to admire yourself. You're there in order to sell the suits. That's not Hanoi. So that should be mutter in any event. Or rather, it should come under the category of Hanoi Abadon Koch. Because he too, it's not the Maisa Levisha per se, it's the Hanoi within it. If the other day you should say that Issa is Maisa Levisha, at most, it is a condition of a Maisa Levisha which generates pleasure. At most. Then the whole Sivu of HaKoch is that we don't learn it, goes down the tube. So, in order to be able to pursue the Malach, which I suggested here, which I find very convincing with the context of the Sugya, but then you have to be able to cope with the question of Kilayim, side with the Ramban against other Shadim that is the Allah of Israel. The Ramban says, with regard to the whole question of Segresha, for those who are familiar with it, they don't want to talk about Segresha, the Nikolai, all says is Mutu. According to the Gemara of Sus, Merik Sus is right to that. The Ramban says, what do you want for Merik Sus? Merik Sus is not someone who's been able to eat a kidnaim, but and they discovered. He's not able to eat it at all, אז הקאבי יסוד אין אפשר לו. אז הוא יסוד. הפיילי, this connection, is a... in the Mishkis Yaakov, it's more to be like, oh, he has in the list of table contents, he has a tshuva of Berchik Sus, is muta only b'ha'aloi, 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 to put it on your shoulder, or is muta even if you wear it. As that relates to this question over here, unfortunately the tshuva would be lost, the table of contents is not in the sefer. What I'm trying to do over here is first to survey Chayz Noshe Miskavin. Do it to Chayz Rabbi of Yehuda. What is the core of the gist of the Vachleikis? So we noted that President Chayz Moshe Shenim is a Dinam Lev Tzvach Sheves and even Rav Yehuda Gemeidet Midaisit Etz Muto or is a Dinam Chalat Tekula. We had a number of sugyas which Tzvach Chayz applies to both. Coming, now if it's Tzvach Chayz Tzvach Chayz Tzvach Chayz Tzvach because of Kula, of Shiva, of the Bosch, you might do. Then we have to look at the Shabbos area for the source of the Machlegis. If we assume it's more general Machlegis, what's the Machlegis? So I suggest the one possibility that. One possibility that the question of the relationship between the Meister and Machshove. Is Machshove just some. A number which embraces the Maisa or does it define the Maisa as such? Not as an external condition, but defines the Maisa. I suggest that the Gemara, that's what Gemara speaks about. Kuro Chumra, Gemara thought that Chod of Yudhi should actually be Megal because for him, Achshava and Vaisa closely intertwined, and therefore, if it's closely intertwined, so therefore, as on the one hand, you ask so, when there's, even there is no, on the one hand, you ask so, only if there's an Issa of the Skavin, that's what she would hold. Yehuda thinks that the Kavod and the Vaisa are two separate things. So you can ask her even when there is no Kavanah. That's a possibility which brings to Rabbi Sugya. Then he must say, Rabbi rejected, because Kula he says that Rabbi Yehuda Chumra. But not Kula that Rabbi Yehuda thinks that you cannot be Megal. If you ask her, the Eibis Kavi without Kavanah. But Chumra, say that, to say that according to the Kula, you can be Megal, that's certainly don't say it. Went on to look, to note that none of us have a shenim clearly accept this Mahalach. The Gemara rejects it with that Torah, but they assume that apparently this is indeed so. They relate this to the Gemaras, which deal with Kachim. There are no two separate phases, certainly not. Looked at other interpretations of Machlekes, so moved on to view that we've got the element of risk. Dashim Skavin, something which the Rambam notes, what you're doing now is innocent, but it could lead to something which is grave. So, are you allowed to take that kind of risk? And here, Shimon Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, are you not allowed? according to another Ma'alav, it's a question they have to take the risk or not. Is there any risk? Perhaps if Rabbi Skarben, there's no Yisur, that brings us back to the earlier point, the question of relation to Yisur, my I that was a good notion of Skarben. I noted earlier, Chayes of Shiva Yudha, possibly could be 2 days worth of Shiva, 2 days worth of Yudha. One basis of Gimel Beis, 2 days of Gimel Yudha. Then the question maybe will be, in principle of Yudha has a clear Shita, but in practice, how far does he go in order to say that Dov Shem is coming, even if it's only a mute, a minor mute, a major mute. Now it's the quote of Rav Shimon, which speaks of psychration, that Rav Shimon asks of psychration, Afar Zigo, is it made of psychration only when Mamash psychration, or if it's overwhelmingly likely, that's a vision for him. Then went on to look at this Shabbos to Shai Surim, and suggested that maybe a question comes up according to Tabuda, is it nice with Abraham, but also according to Rabbi Shimon, we had a segregation where Rabbi Shimon is made. Nonetheless, there may be another factor to take into consideration. According to Rabbi Shimon, if it's made with Abraham, it's made. If it's got to be Shabbos, so it may be Rabbanon. If it's got to be Chatzar Kula, it's made the D'oraisa. Then we looked at our sugya, in order to Chatzar Shosh Hashem, takes the sugya, our sugya is extended a parallel to the sugya in Shabbos, Leir of Tanim. That I suggest is more problematic. So when David learns, it's a question of is that the Yisur of Hanoi to absorb Hanoi or to seek out Hanoi? Maybe that's the voice over here. And I said that here there may be differences either with different Hanois or if it's the same Hanoi but different grades, different levels, different intensity of enjoyment. And that is to look briefly at the sugyas of Reich and Mizrach Rav Milsa, that here the baby difference in the nature of the experience or the degree to which the object is identified with its odor, as perfume or other items would be. They looked at the end of the sugya, if it was Surah B'Dos Ma'alah, the Chura, down the line, every right that boy brings has to adjust up to that condition. So indeed it does. But except for Chilayim, Chilayim we have to get involved in what Isa is. What Isa is Hanoi, the Isa is Ravisha, Mais Ravisha. According to Taisha, you can learn it's the Mais Ravisha, according to Rabbi David, we have to learn it's not the Mais Ravisha, but the Hanoi Ravisha. And therefore, it comes up again on the rubric about Adam Bal Kocha. We discussed briefly the definition of Bal Kocha, it does not mean the action about Oinus, but it has some difficulty. And especially in conclusion, this 2 years, as I said at the outset, one which relates to a major element. On the other hand, it's a off the beaten path. The Torah which would be applicable if we were to pass it like this with you are significant and could in many ways mitigate all kinds of awkward, difficult social conditions within the world in which we live, with exposure to one form or another of Yisur HaNoi, Tzveriyah, etc. come up. But the Maisa, many Rabbanim are afraid to implement this Gemara, and they're afraid to implement other Hetayim as well. And this remains a little bit a sidelines. I mean, Tzadik Rebbe will use the passage of this Gemara in many contexts. At home, people be singing on Shabbos, women, Isha, for instance, and other elements.
Okay.